Rosie on the House is on the road at the 39th Annual Folk Music Festival. Live from Prescott, here's Jennifer Romero.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. Hey, all y'all. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, our 8 o'clock outdoor living hour. Don't get scared. Romy and Rosie are close by, in air land anyway. I'm in Prescott. The guys are at the Saba Show at the Tucson Convention Center in Tucson, so you can stop by there and meet them and get your questions answered. You have complete access to the guys today. They'll be on air at the 9 o'clock open hour segment, so you can call and ask any question you have as long as it's about your house, home, castle, or cabin. And then 10 o'clock, we have a guest on this morning, Tekna Security Systems, talking about smoke alarms, smoke detectors, and kind of in honor of Fire Prevention Month, October. So it's really, if you haven't seen the article, you can find that on our blog at rosieonthehouse.com, or if you get our newsletter by signing up at info@rosieonthehouse.com, the article comes right to your email each week, and you get to find out all kinds of special stuff about us. There's all kinds, you would have known about the Folk Music Festival this weekend. You can find our e-commerce store there. We have events that we like to feature and highlight in the newsletter as well. So we're just getting, we're kind of tweaking that down to it's really one quick look, and you have all kinds of good information you need for your house and for getting out and enjoying Arizona. So we are continuing from the 7 o'clock hour. We're still at the Charlotte Hall Museum in Prescott, and we thought we would use this hour to talk about just the grounds here. We're on 4 acres, and I'm here with Steve Whitley. He's the museum grounds supervisor. He's a master gardener. He's going to kind of walk us through what we have here on the property. I have Mr. Ken Lea, who is the marketing director here and who's has just opened his arms wide and brought all these people in for us to visit with so we could introduce you to this wonderful, wonderful place. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I imagine you're an early riser, so the 8 o'clock probably isn't too early for you.
Oh, no. I'm usually here at 6.
Yeah? Oh, wow.
I get here early.
Are you here?
Trying to beat the heat.
Yeah. Well, are you here all year round?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I think the thing that interests people most as far as the grounds would be the rose garden. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. That's my favorite garden.
Tell me something about that garden.
Well, it was started, I'm not sure the exact date, but it was thought of from Mrs. M.N. Perkins, who decided to put this in to memorialize pioneer women. You know, some women were go clear back to 1864 when the museum was started.
So these different roses represent different, is it a variety or a certain plant? How
does
that work?
Well, it did at one time.
Okay.
I mean, you know, but then we got to the point where some of the varieties that the family picked for their relatives were no longer available. Plus, I think we got to where we have more women than we have space for roses.
Oh, so, I'm sure that's the case.
So we basically dedicate the entire garden, you know, to all of the women.
Yeah. Well, let's back up just a little bit, Steve. I want to talk a little bit about you. So has this been your whole life? You've always been a gardener?
No, I've done various things over the years, all kinds of different things.
Yeah.
Kind of jack of all trades, you could say.
Well, how does that journey look where you got from a jack of all trades to master gardener at the Charlotte Hall Museum?
Well, I moved here to Prescott in 1980, and then this was my first job, was working here, and I've been here 37 years.
Wow.
And most of it's been on the grounds, and I've just learned to do all kinds of things.
You know,
I just jump into whatever.
And so you're a master gardener.
Yes.
How long have you had that status?
Well, I'm thinking it was about 83 or 84. Went through the very first master gardener program here through the cooperative extension agent.
Okay.
And
when you do master gardening, is that specific to your area, or is it an overall kind of?
It covers everything.
Okay.
You know, including speaking to the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at one time when you first, well, it used to be. In fact, I used to write articles for the newspaper. It was part of a volunteering thing.
And then
that kind of faded away. Now, you know, some of my volunteers here are master gardeners that have gone through the program.
Wow, that's great. Well, so how many varieties do you think you have out there then?
Oh, I have probably over 50 varieties.
Wow.
You know, and then I have about, in the rose garden itself, I have about 275 roses.
And where are we in the season right now? Are we getting to the close as it cools off, of course?
We're at the end of the season. As soon as we start getting major freezing, they will be done.
What is the prime time? If somebody wanted to plan their staycation around coming up to see the roses at the prime time.
I think, September and to now.
Really? That's later than I would think.
Yeah, well, we've only had a couple of freezes so far, and they haven't been that cold.
Yeah.
And the roses still look pretty good.
They do. They do.
We see them from here.
We are. We're looking out at this beautiful hedge of roses, all colors, all sizes.
September is usually the best month.
Okay.
As far as the roses are concerned, that's when they're the fullest. Somewhere around the 1st of September, I stop deadheading, so it stays a little fuller.
Do you teach classes at all on? No. Are there classes up here, Ken?
Well, other than teaching volunteer training
occasionally. Oh, right. Not to the public, though.
No.
I understand that, yes, the cooperative extension from the University of Arizona does come up here, and they do gardening classes, and there are a lot of volunteer organizations that do participate in that. We like to think that a lot of those volunteers come over to our campus here and help Steve working on the campus grounds.
Yeah.
In fact, I give a tour to the Master Gardener class every other year when they hold the class in Prescott. The other year they hold it in Cottonwood.
So they'll come up and you'll explain the difference.
I take them around the grounds and their teacher tells them about the grounds, and then I'm just here to fill in some of the things that he doesn't know.
What are some of the challenges you have for keeping that garden looking just like it is?
It's a fair amount of work.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about this a little later, but weather is one thing.
Okay.
In the spring when the garden starts growing, we get late freezes, mm-hmm. and that kills most of my roses. I mean, up to about 25 a year on an average.
It kills 25 of your roses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Roughly.
Okay.
Sometimes there's a one or two from winter kill. But then after that freezing is over, usually, we can get some late freezes in May.
Mm-hmm.
And I just replace the roses and then fertilize once a month and spray for the fungus and pests as needed. And it just...
I think there's an art to doing roses. It always sounds kind of like a scary thing. As a homeowner, I've always wanted to do that.
And it's labor intensive.
Yeah.
And, because once the roses start growing, you need to go in and deadhead.
Mm-hmm. Which means to tear off the...
Take off the old rose, one that's wide open and starting to lose its petals.
Do you use little scissors or do you just pinch them
off? Use my snippers.
Okay.
And I cut them down generally to the first leaf that has five leaflets.
Okay.
At about a 45 degree angle. And
then what does that do for the plant?
Well, it promotes the plant to grow more roses.
Okay.
Because, the cycle of plants is they want to put out seeds, and when they're done, they quit putting out flowers.
Got it.
Because they want to, last forever. They want to keep going, so they're producing seeds. So when you do that, you cut the old roses off, it makes it want to grow more new roses.
What about, so if somebody wanted to plant roses, when does a homeowner need to start?
They can start early in real early spring, end of winter, by purchasing bare root roses.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to buy them in pots. I've never had good luck with bare root.
What's the difference?
Well, the bare root is just an exposed root, and it's just got moss around it to keep it wet. And it seems like every time I tried buying bare root, I'd lose about half of them.
Interesting.
So I wait till they come out in pots, and then I'll plant them that way, and I have less dieback.
Do you have a favorite one?
I don't recall the variety, but it's orange.
Yeah?
I like the orange roses, kind of like Tropicana, except there's another one that's a little more orange than that. I just don't recall the name.
So you can choose roses by color, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And is fragrance different on the different varieties as well?
Yeah. I mean, there's two different sentimental roses. One is sentimental by the scent, and that's one of the most fragrant roses that I have. And then, of course, there's red roses like the Mr. Lincoln, I also have John F. Kennedy, you know, Christian Dior. There's just so many different roses.
Christian Dior rose?
Yes. There's a lot of them. I can't name them all.
Do you have any of the historic roses? Like, isn't there a tombstone? Do you have a cutting from that at all?
No, I have a couple of old original roses. They're Rosa rugosas. One is, they're not in the rose garden. They're various other places, you know, because I have quite a few roses around the grounds also, around the other buildings.
Mm-hmm. What else do you have out there besides roses?
Well, in the rose garden, nothing, just roses.
Okay, but there's other things going on. Most of your work is right there in the garden then?
Well, not necessarily. No. I mean, I have all these other, you know, gardens around the grounds.
I see flowers.
We went through this year and rebuilt a lot of the flower beds, which I'm going to try to do next year. I've got a few more, you know, because I need to rebuild them about every 3 years. Otherwise, some plants take over and...
So you just strip them out and put in fresh
soil. Yeah, or just cut some of the other ones back and add new flowers.
Yeah.
Just to keep the variety.
It sure enhances the experience up here, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Because particularly with all of the signage that we have that identifies some of the flowers and some of the plants so that folks can say, oh, I like that plant. Can I get that and take a cutting of it or find it at a nursery and put it at home?
Mm-hmm.
So we have that capability as well.
Yeah, and I try to grow some, you know, exotic things that aren't really supposed to grow here. But
how's that go?
It does okay for a while. Some things last a few years, and then they go away. And you know, but it's something to play with. I like to experiment a little bit.
I think that's part of being a gardener, don't you? If you think you have to get it right the first time, you'll give up. I've been there. I'm on my second round now. I'm trying to realize that you don't always succeed. And, you know, and we live on the desert floor in Phoenix, and everybody brings what they think should grow and what their favorite things. And if you don't see them growing somewhere else, chances are you're not going to be able to get it to grow. But however, whenever we say you can't grow something, somebody manages to get it done because they want it that bad. You just have to be willing to put the work in.
And we've got 150 years of people coming here from the East Coast and migrating this way and trying to bring their Massachusetts flowers and floribunda and try and plant it in their gardens at their homes. And so we've done a lot of experimenting. I know Steve's a little reluctant to talk about it, but there's been a lot of plantings and things that he has presented and put here on the grounds to find out, does it work? And of course, there's been a lot of history of plants that have been brought here. People have planted them and they either took off and became a pest or they took off and at least they're working. And so he's had a chance to experiment with them.
Visiting at the Charlotte Hall Museum with Steve Whitley and Ken Leah, and we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned.